What's trending?
Well, we are awaiting Andy Reid. As soon as he's at the podium, we will head out there. The only place you can hear from Coach is right here on 96.5 The Fan. But What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, obviously, the Chiefs' first loss of the season. The undefeated talk is no more, unfortunately. You don't have to be looking at the schedule, breaking that part down. But the number one seed conversation will be the most interesting thing, I think, over the next month, given where Buffalo's schedule sits, including games against the Lions, Niners, and Rams, and of course where the Chiefs are at, where their schedule appears to be a little softer. We'll see. But Panthers for starters, and then they get the Raiders over the next two.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is the easiest two-game stretch of probably the entire season, which becomes important for the Chiefs. It's they cannot, in my opinion, if they want the one seed, afford to lose one of the next two games, especially ahead of what is more difficult stuff there down the road. Next up on Watch Trending, the KC Current lost to the Orlando Pride in the semifinals on Sunday at 2:00, 3-2. Honestly, it was a great goal from Orlando's primary goal scorer there late. KC Current fought, right? They used that stoppage time, got a goal late, had an opportunity late to maybe tie that game up, came up just short in what was, a spectacular season for the Current, considering where they were last season. Unfortunately for them, that means they will not play in the NWSL Finals coming up this weekend, which will take place over at CPKC.
Yeah, that's the bummer. They could have hosted a championship game in their backyard at their stadium at CPKC.
That stinks.
Next up on What's Trending News out of New York, the Giants made it official this morning, benching starting quarterback Daniel Jones. He now will actually be the third-string quarterback. We'll get to that in a second. The new starter? No, not Drew Locke, who, has ties to the area. Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets, back. A starter. I just want his agent on the sideline wearing the suits again. That old story was fun for a few weeks last year. The reason they're doing this not only is because Daniel Jones stinks, but they don't want him to get hurt because there's injury guarantees that are built in. The Broncos did the same thing a year ago. The Raiders did it a couple years ago with Derek Carr. You're not allowed to bench someone due to contract reasons, but this is the workaround. You can say it's bad performance, which it is.
They're 2-8.
And it's to save money. Look, they're done. The Daniel Jones era in New York is over. That's what this signifies.
He'll be a backup somewhere. Honestly, he'd be like a perfect Josh Allen backup. Do all the same things, but worse. Next up on What's Trending, the Big 12 will have some games next season and for the next six seasons over in the channel of Warner Brothers setup starting next year with ESPN acquiring the rights to the Inside the NBA. Essentially, it's a swap. They're getting Inside the NBA. They settled their lawsuit over stealing the NBA from Warner Brothers, and now they're kind of stuck. So it'll be 28 total football and basketball games each of the next 6 years, essentially, the way it works. So instead of ESPN Plus games for college football sometimes, you'll get Kansas football over on TNT.
To win for the Big 12.
I think it is a win for the Big 12, honestly. Yeah,
that's a nice trade-off. That's a nice trade-off. Thinking of college football in some of the local schools, KU football did get a win over the weekend against BYU. Previously unbeaten BYU, the Jayhawks still alive for bowl eligibility. They got a win out. They get Colorado at Arrowhead, and then they have Baylor. K-State dropped the ball against Arizona State. That pretty much probably
they stunk in the first half.
Ends any chance, barring some weird scenarios that are out there, for them to find themselves in a Big 12 title game. Also, Missouri lost a close one to South Carolina. So what a bummer. All three locals, all the hype about all three, great chances to make the college football playoff in an expanded field, and it sure looks like that none of them
are going to be doing that. The hottest team is the team that's 4-6.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll say this. MU lost in the most MU way ever to South Carolina. Luther Burden, who's had way too quiet of a season based on their expectations this year and Cook's play, had a tremendous moment to bring MU back to get the win. Let up a touchdown in a minute, dude. Lost to South Carolina. Yeah. Pretty devastating blow. Pretty devastating blow there for MU.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Again, we are awaiting Andy Reid. If you guys recalled last week, I think they were 15, 20 minutes late. So we'll see. It could be a little bit.
I think it was longer than that.
Drew says in my ear, I think it was longer than that.
So, no, I'm just saying.
The air or through my ear? I couldn't tell.
That was over the air.
Oh, okay. All right.
You think it's going to be longer than that?
No. I said it. What? Last week, I believe.
He was 25 minutes.
I'm just being honest. We took another break.
Oh, yeah.
We took our regular break. I'm just being honest.
But you won't miss anything when Andy does speak. We will carry that live here on 96.5 The Fan. On Friday, though, did the headphones? I'm looking over. We're on video, as always, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. New headphones, I don't see duct tape. Did the listeners come through on Friday? I wasn't here.
Okay, so there was
they
a
look
listener.
Good.
Shout out there. Hold on. There's a listener that came through. There's backstory.
Nice pair.
These are not the headphones.
What? Oh.
These are my Beats headphones.
Why didn't you just use these all the time?
I'm so confused.
You had another pair of headphones?
No.
My goodness.
Hold on. I don't like using these, and here's my example. So the headphones that I use, I can hear peripheral sound. So if somebody comes in, if somebody comes in the side and needs to tell me something, I know. On Friday, Quentin came in. I had these on. He tapped me on the shoulder. I about freaked out because these are noise-canceling headphones.
Can't you turn the noise-canceling off? I can on mine.
Rob came in, didn't hear him come in. So I don't
people
like...
People sneaking up on Drew.
I don't like using these headphones.
Those are nice headphones.
You were
having duct tape ones, so the listeners stepped up and bought you headphones, and you're not even wearing them.
Also, when I talk to you, I hear myself more through, like,
We're the ones that the listener bought.
They're in the mail.
I thought they arrived on Friday.
No. As soon as they get here, I'm
that's what I was confused.
Away.
I was like, wait, you could have just worn these the whole time.
My Beats are great for music, but not. I don't like wearing them.
Okay.
Doing my job because it's. Yeah, I don't like doing. I don't like using them.
The other thing someone brought up, and it's true, we gave you the renegotiating power dumbly.
That was you. I didn't have anything to do with that. You offered. And I accept
because we knew you were never going to pay off your strip club bet.
Yeah,
and for those before the same person texts in every time we do this, like, you should make him go to strip club. He made the bet. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
You were never going to pay that off, I think. And so we said, hey, we'll redo it. If the Chiefs go undefeated, you get a tattoo instead. Mm-hmm. Well, the Chiefs lost.
So now it's all over. So
that
we only have one outstanding bet, Drew, to go to
McDonald's.
That's the biggest
disappointing thing about the loss is that. Nothing else. Everything, the Chiefs will be fine. But you, not having to do anything.
Forget the Chiefs, the defense. It's like Cody doesn't have to go to the strip club anymore.
Disappointing.
Well, so I mentioned this on Friday because we were talking a little bit about the game. I'll be honest. When we made the bet, and this was my misunderstanding of the terms of our bet.
Okay.
I think if I'd gone back to listen, that was probably the terms.
Okay.
When we had made the bet, it was that I had to go. And like when
With
we were talking about it With on the air, the general thing is like we'd all go together. Everyone's in this. But then I went to a strip club.
With your wife.
I went about almost exactly a year ago. I went to one and I thought, I'll be honest, when I went that night, I thought I was fulfilling my obligation in my own mind. And maybe that was because maybe the liquor was talking, right? I was like, I'm fulfilling my obligation. Mm-hmm. I am going somewhere. I said I would go. I went. And then I came in on Monday and I said, look, I went. I did the thing we were supposed to do. And you're like, that doesn't count. We have to go together. And I was like, he kind of has a point, but I don't want to go again now that I've been. Now what do I do? That was the predicament I was stuck in.
The way that Cody made it to you on Friday is that he didn't have a very good time, so he never wanted. It's a place he never wanted to go to again.
It was honest to God. It's not. There's nothing generally wrong with like people go like, but it was. I felt on the inside exactly the way I thought I'd feel on the inside. Like I am uncomfortable. This brings me discomfort. So like, and obviously that's why people wanted me to go. I've just
you don't want to
so
support people's
awkward.
Educational dreams. That's fine.
That being the example you used is it's not necessarily wrong, but it's funny.
Yeah.
Gold. It's.
I guess we'll have to come up with some new bets. Someone said, that's right. We'll work them out.
I think Gold, for the sake of the bet, you should put something up where it's not quite, I don't know if it puts you in an uncomfortable position as well. That's the only way that Cody would agree to make a bet where one of you is going to be very uncomfortable at the end of the bet. But in order for Cody to go to the strip club again, I think it's got to be something that either one of you are going to be embarrassed
by. The only way that I can think of this
with.
Is like if Alex lets me set him up on a blind date. He gets no knowledge of the person or who I'm setting him up with. Just my God-given knowledge of Alex and his interests.
And you'll go to the strip club.
But I get to choose her. I get to choose her completely blindly. He gets no background information
having,
on her.
Me having
before
no
they
sides
go on
of
the
this?
Date.
Wow.
I'm down for that.
We did auction off a blind date kind of once on the show.
Yeah, we did. But you got to like...
Oh, think of that. My twin sister got married this weekend. Great wedding.
How many times did you get asked about that?
Happy for both of them. It was an awesome day for our family and everything. But I couldn't... I mean, dude, whether it was old family friends, whether it was family members... There was not a single person I talked to, I feel like, at the wedding that did not ask me, so are you talking to anybody? You're next up. Oh, that was the only thing that drove me crazy. Other than that, great weekend. The wedding was awesome. Smooth, everything went great. But that question I got asked so many times. I had somebody showing me a friend.
Anyone?
Showing me a friend. They're like, hey, this person, like, I kid you, one of them was like, she's on TikTok and has 5 million followers. My first response was, how young is she? That was my first response.
Because she's on TikTok?
Well, she's got 5 million followers on TikTok.
I think that's a fair response.
Did you get her name? Let's look her up.
I did. I do have the TikTok profile. No, she's cute. Yeah. But I don't know where she lives or anything.
Well, they made it sound like they knew her.
Yeah, but they were from out of town. Wedding from out of town.
Hey, five million TikTok followers?
They live in Arizona. I don't know if she's actually local or not. But
5 million TikTok followers is a lot.
But yes, most people were like, you're next up. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Maybe she lives in town. What's the name? Could
we know? I'm not going to say it on air. Oh. I'm not going to do that. Come on now. I'll show you.
She has 5 million fans on TikTok. I don't think she's a public personality.
No, I think 5 million views, not 5 million followers.
Oh, okay.
As followers, 5 million followers. I was like, is she the most popular TikTok person on the planet?
He said, he told me, because it was a family friend and he somehow knows her. And yeah, that was the issue. There was confusion on the followers.
Okay, well, show me anyway, in the break. Let's talk about one of the things.
I want to talk about Xavier Worthy.
Okay.
For a little bit, because once again, we saw an ongoing issue flare up. Yet, for the first three drives of the game, including the one in particular, it was looking like Xavier Worthy was going to have his breakout performance. It was his best performance since week one against Baltimore. Was it not? You know, against Baltimore, he had multiple touchdowns, 3 touches, 2 touchdowns. This game, he was targeted a lot early on. He was effective. I think he made his best catch as a pro, contested. And then it seemed like it all got soured because, yet again, deep down the field, Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy could not connect. And this one was, I still think, more on Worthy, but it was more of a probably blame on both sides than a week ago where clearly Mahomes threw the ball out of bounds, essentially.
Yeah, that was just a terrible
throw. Worthy still doesn't have a good grasp, it feels like, of where he's at on the field.
I don't know that I'm supposed to just, like, think it's never going to happen. Like, to be honest, like, we are 11 weeks into the NFL season. Am I still supposed to believe that one of these is going to connect? Because here's the disconnect. Clearly, Xavier Worthy is having zero trouble getting open downfield. Okay?
Right.
I mean, this is like the 10th time this year they have thrown the ball towards Xavier Worthy 40-plus yards down the field. And I would say 8 of those 10 times he was uncovered or not covered by someone within 10 or 15 yards of him. And like 2 have been completed, and those were a month or two ago. And so at some point, I'm not saying like they should stop throwing the ball down the field, but at some point I will have to accept reality and just assume that is never going to be a thing that happens for this offense. And as much as I said that I would bail if they went through it again this week, I still feel like it's too early to bail.
How can you say you should bail on it? This is still the key to me to unlocking. All of a sudden we wake up and it's January and the offense is looking better than it has all year. That's the key. We all acknowledged already in the show, if you missed it, you can go back and listen to the podcast. We've talked about left tackle already at great length. We've talked about the other concerns, but right now we're talking about Xavier Worthy. And if you were to ask me another thing that allows him to get to a Super Bowl again, I find it hard to believe that they will get back to the Super Bowl unless we see a connection from Mahomes and Worthy down the field, whether it be in 2 weeks from now, more importantly, if they don't have one in the playoffs. And that's still the beautiful thing here. Despite the frustration, you know, it feels like they're so close to doing this. If they do it in the playoffs, nobody cares, right? They can have these near misses again in 3 weeks from now, but in divisional round weekend or AFC title game, if they connect, then it doesn't matter. And you said it. It's not as if they're not consistently getting him open down the field. They are. Once or twice a game, wide open, too. It's like wide open most cases. The timing's off. He needs to have better field awareness. But the most promising thing out of his performance yesterday still, I actually thought it was a good game for him. The contested catch. That was his best catch as a pro. That's where he maybe is developed the most.
Well, he ran some regular routes yesterday and was getting open and was the best wide receiver on the field for 2 quarters for the Chiefs, which I thought was an incredibly encouraging sign. And had he caught that deep pass, I mean, that might be one of our leads today. Because I guess this is what it really could. This is why it's been so frustrating is I am now convinced that the Chiefs are such a good team because that's it. Screw the text line for the one person like, just admit the Chiefs are no good. Are you kidding? You know, you got 0% chance of me admitting that about a 9-1 team who is the back-to-back Super Bowl champion. But so they're not a good team. I am now convinced that if in any single game, Xavier Worthy and Patrick Mahomes actually connect on one of these deep balls versus him not dragging his toe, Mahomes leading him a little too far, whatever, it's an auto win. Because that's the difference between every close game they play and a win. Like a blowout win in a lot of cases. They would have blown some of these teams out, one by 10, 14 plus, had the Xavier Worthy connection hit. Or I think they win the game yesterday if just very simply that pass gets connected. It's funny because I think both people bear blame. I do not think this is only a Xavier Worthy thing. 2 weeks ago, it was definitively Xavier Worthy's fault. I'm sorry. He lost track of where he was on the sideline. That's a catch. A week ago, that was a horrendous throw from Patrick Mahomes, and Xavier Worthy was wide open. This week, a perfect throw is a touchdown. A really good throw, which it was, should have been a 50-yard, 40-yard completion. But Xavier Worthy doesn't know how to get his toes down. And so both players bear blame. I'm not saying Mahomes bears none of this. And I guess for him, it's what do you think the problem is? Is it that he's got happy feet because of the lack of offensive line? Is he just not good at throwing the deep ball anymore? Because essentially he didn't do it for an entire year and now he needs practice again. Like, which part of Mahomes is the problem? Because he's definitely part of the problem.
Of course.
Like, it's just a tick off. I just think that it's just a tick
off. That's the problem. It's just like a little off. It's not like way off. It's like just a little.
Yeah, because I think if Xavier Worthy keeps his feet in, that's not a touchdown, but it's a big play. If the throw is a little bit better, it's a touchdown.
Yeah, that's why it's on both. Yeah. And that's why it's on both of them. I mean, someone says, who cares about Worthy? D-Hop should be the number one target. The snap count yesterday, last game, 49% is all the snaps that DeAndre Hopkins got.
That was weird.
And we were talking about this earlier. I don't know if this goes back to how Buffalo was playing Kansas City, man-to-man defense basically the entire game. And so who can actually win man-to-man? Xavier Worthy, of course, his speed presents that. That's to me why Travis Kelce did not have a strong performance yesterday, is because typically Kelsey's best against zone. He can find the spaces in the zone better than anybody else maybe in football, and certainly with Mahomes in terms of their relationship and connection that they have. It was bizarre to only see D-Hop get 50% of the snaps. They were effective snaps when he was out there, I'll tell you that. There was like two or three catches where, I think two catches in particular, where he once again showed he made a catch that nobody else is capable of making on that field.
And then spun around and got that first down on, yeah, mm-hmm. that same one you're talking about, mm-hmm. where he rolled for the first, even though it was between two defenders on a very difficult catch.
These are all reasons why, like, if you're asking why you should still feel good about a rematch in January. One, because history would tell us the Bills win these regular season games and the Chiefs win in the postseason. Duh, that's number one. The other part is, but the Bills weren't healthy, but we know the Chiefs weren't either. What happens when Pacheco and Kareem Hunt can both be on the field at the same time? What happens if Hollywood Brown is part of the picture, right? I'm assuming in the playoffs, DeAndre Hopkins is not only getting 50% of the snaps. That would be bizarre.
He's also only been in the offense for 3 weeks. So some of it is just like, can I see D-Hop when he's had 8 weeks in this offense and has an even better understanding of it? Isn't that some part of this for anybody else? Like, they had to relearn who they were offensively, like, six games into the season. Seven games, like, at a weird time. They're like, oh, okay, no, but now there's DeAndre Hopkins and Juju Smith-Schuster, who wasn't a factor, and now he's been gone for months, so we got to work him back in. I honestly don't think they know who they are offensively. I think there's still a lot to learn offensively for them.
We have seen this time and time again with them, though. I mean, it feels late in the year, but it's not. It's November 18th. This is a team that's played 10 football games this year. In Kansas City, we all know better. This is all about the playoffs. And when they get there, what are they playing? Like, last year's the prime example of this. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden in the playoffs, the O-line played their best football ever. No turnovers anymore. Yeah. And they rolled right through all the road games and won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen again, but like thinking that this coaching staff, that Patrick Mahomes, they're not capable of suddenly figuring all this out by the playoffs. Like, that would be foolish for anybody to sit here locally or nationally to act as if this is it. This is who they are and they have to deal with it. Like, I don't buy into the, like, they intentionally didn't spy Josh Allen because they want to save it. That to me is absurd. But if you think that there won't be different looks from Andy Reid, personnel wise, actual play design, things they didn't learn from this matchup, of course. Absolutely. And Buffalo's not dumb. They know that as well. They have also seen this play out so many times. Yesterday's game matters for the number one seed. But the postseason, of course, is ultimately what this is all about. And I don't know why we should not believe that Patrick Mahomes' footwork won't just magically be better come playoff time, because it probably will.
Yeah, I guess part of that is, if you'd caught me in a different year years and years and years ago, I'd have been like, you can't just turn it on, man. It's not how football works. You can't just flip the switch and be a different team.
This team can. They've shown it.
I'd be kind of foolish to pretend like,
also,
and like you said, a divisional round game, they'll somehow give up zero sacks, turn the ball over zero times, and Worthy will have two catches for 130 yards and two touchdowns. I'll be like, the hell's this?
Wouldn't even call you crazy if that happened. Like, that's what, like, we have.
It's not even a wild assumption somehow.
Yeah. I mean, the number two corner spot, I still think, in left tackle, are obviously the two biggest problems with this football team. And one, to me, is potentially correctable. And you're like, how? Well, that goes back to Donovan Smith. I think that's correctable at left tackle. Mm-hmm. Number two corner, the only reason why, like, personnel-wise, not correctable, but my faith is in Steve Spagnuolo. Shown me enough in his coaching career that
8 games from now, Nazi Johnson will be better than he is today.
Correct. And Dave Merritt has shown they can develop corners. And mm-hmm. so my hope is that they're just going to get better. And you can, that, yes, Nazi, I'm hoping, Johnson, but I've seen evidence that they're capable of doing that with young corners.
At least Nazi Johnson has shown, you know, something. Where the left tackle play has been bad.
My solution there is just like what everybody's acknowledged is, like, there's a guy that, yes, has not played football in 2024. Or actually, he has.
Oh, yeah. Playoffs last year. Donovan Smith.
Do you think they actually talked to him?
Not in the football year of 2024.
Do you think they've actually talked to Donovan Smith?
His agent, representative, yes.
I think it's malpractice.
I think Nate Taylor might have acknowledged last week when he was on with us that there was at least some.
Because that was the joke last week as to why Andy was a little bit later, is because maybe he's going to get Donovan Smith. Obviously, that didn't happen. But
now he's really late again. Did they change their meeting times or something?
I don't know.
2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, a little late today.
Just a little, just asking. That's all. Andy running a little bit late.
But, like, if you're in another city, and your team, it's understandable, and your team has all these flaws, and it's still only really, mm-hmm. to me, like, two big flaws. When you haven't had success in the playoffs or seen your coaching staff make adjustments, you would be way more skeptical. I would get it. I mean, that's how we felt in 2019. Like, hadn't seen the proof of them turning it around.
If this were the Bills or the Bengals doing it right now, you wouldn't believe it.
Exactly. But, yeah, we do approach, like, if there's anybody that, like, outside of Kansas City is thinking, like, okay, well, how are you guys so optimistic still? Because we actually, unlike your city and your football team, we have seen this team make said adjustments, overcome what seemed like an obstacle or flaw that was not one you can overcome. They have done that. And yes, each year is a new year, but it's the same head coach, it's the same front office, it's the same quarterback, it's the same, you know what I mean? Like, there's too many familiar pieces that matter.
And too many times I've seen them do it.
And that's why.
It's the reality of the situation, and always will be, is that I will give them a greater benefit of the doubt than any other team in the league. Like, the text line said, hey, just tuned in, how's Drew doing today? I didn't give Cincinnati the benefit of the doubt. They didn't deserve it.
I told you, I haven't tried to say too much about his team. Told you guys last week, they're three games under 500. I don't talk about teams that are under 500 that way anymore. I don't need to waste my time.
As you shouldn't.
Because, like, they were eliminated from the postseason.
As you shouldn't.
Fundamentally. I think they were never going, but they were definitely eliminated last night. That's for sure.
Up next, we are still waiting Andy Reid's press conference exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. And let's talk a little bit more about this defense, though, because you did, Drew, ask us a question earlier that I think is interesting as we talk bigger picture about what to expect from them. Plus, we have the random question of the day. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. At some point, we will hear from Andy Reid.
I think so.
We think at some point today.
I'm putting it only an 80% chance.
Yes,
now.
At some point we will hear from the head coach. And on Mondays, the only place you can hear from the head coach live is your own for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
I know coming up in a week and a half, 2 weeks, you will debut in your Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
You and I have debuts on the red carpet. If you'd like to see the closest thing I'll have this year, the Royals have officially released their documentary on the Hot Dog Derby Championship.
It's just now coming
it's
out.
It's 7 minutes long.
When did
it
you
breaks
race
down
this
the entire race.
Oh, so right, you know, as you started there. Talking about that, of course, at the podium, our conversations or our press conferences with Andy Reid are sponsored by Arvest Bank, making banking easier for customers more than 60 years. Arvest Bank, proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom.
Don't really have any injury updates for you. We'll just have to see about Pacheco as the week goes on here, O'Manihu as the week goes on. As far as the film study of the game, the review, feel similar to what I felt after the game. There were some good things that took place, but there were some things that we need to work on, especially when you're playing a good team like that, where every series is an important series, whether you're on the offensive side or the defensive side. And any mistakes can get magnified tenfold because of that. And you've got to make sure that you're sharp, and whether it's assignments or execution. And we can do better in that area. We can do better as coaches of making sure our guys can be put in positions to do better, and to maybe back off a little bit on certain things that that we've been doing. So to help the players out so that they can play a little bit faster. So anyways, in general, that's what I would tell you on both sides of the ball. I'd tell you on the special team side, I thought we did some good things, in particular with Spencer and his kicking. I was proud of the kid stepping in. That's a tough environment to step into, and he did well with what we asked him to do. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
We'll go first to Matt Derrick. Matt?
Hey, Coach, after the game last night, you mentioned wanting to look at that Xavier Worthy catch down the field on the sideline a little bit more. Do you feel any differently after looking at it, as far as, is that a learning experience for Xavier, or is that just, you know, what Patrick said, that, you know, he throws the ball a little bit differently, that's a walk-in touchdown?
Yeah. If Pat could have seen him earlier, then that's part of it. But once you're there, he could have dragged his foot to keep it in. He'll be able to chalk that one up to experience. But again, what Pat told you is true. And so that combination, those are the little things, though. That, you know, you're talking about 7 points there against a good football team. So you got to make sure that we take care of business on both ends there.
We'll go next to Jesse Newell. Jesse?
Hey, Kelsey, I have a follow-up, too. Hey, Andy, you just said you wanted to back off some things to help your players. Can you just give an example of what you were talking about there?
Yeah, so, you know, maybe it's motions or shifts or that type of thing on the offensive side. You know, Spags, I haven't gone through it with him yet, so, but they're just, they're little things, but sometimes little things can add up.
Great. I wanted to ask you, just on the 4th and 2, when you're playing a guy like Josh Allen, what's the balance with your defensive linemen between trying to go make a play and then trying to kind of stay in your lane to make sure you can't scramble on a play like that?
Yeah, that's a tough thing to do. I mean, it's especially when you're right there. And, you know, listen, this was not an effort problem on either side of the ball. It was just an execution part. And yeah, you want to try to stay in your lanes. Sometimes when it extends that long, that's a tough thing to do. I mean, the guy's moving around and all of a sudden those lanes become skewed just a little bit. So, but listen, I appreciate the effort on it. The guy made a great play, and we'll go back and learn from the thing and see what we can do better on that.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney. Pete?
Coach, it felt like coming into the game that Travis Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins were breaking out in a sense, and Buffalo was able to limit them. I was wondering on your second look what you might have saw from Buffalo that led to some of that.
Yeah, well, they bracketed Kelce up and in certain situations. DeAndre, they tried to do in certain situations. But again, we can work through that part. And, they're not the only two on the field, so the other guys have opportunities when that happens.
It looks like we have just a couple more for you, Coach. We'll go back to Matt Derrick. Matt?
Yeah, Coach, I also wanted to ask about just the pressure you're able to get up front defensively. Last couple of years, you obviously have been second in the league in sacks. This year, it's been more difficult to come by. What's the level of just frustration or disappointment that the front four hasn't been able to get as much pressure as it has in the past?
Yeah, you know, I don't have the numbers for you right in front of myself. Last night probably wasn't as much as we'd like there, but the other games, I thought we had done pretty well with that as far as at least hurries for the quarterback. I was pretty happy with that.
We'll go next to Nick Jacobs. Nick?
And Kelsey, I'll have a follow-up if I can, please. Andy, on that second-to-last drive where Noah Gray has the touchdown, that drive itself, how do you guys go about trying to get the players to build off that for the games ahead here?
Yeah, sure. That was one of the positives, and that's something that I can help with, giving my guys an opportunity to be able to do those things, you know. And I might have been a little too conservative early on, but this is what we're capable of doing, and it's important that we get it down to where we can do that consistently.
And for the rookies and some of the guys who necessarily haven't been a part of these runs that you guys have had over the 5 to 6 years, what do you hope they kind of take away from being in that environment and being in that game?
Yeah, you got to dig in, man. I mean, these should hurt. You spend a lot of time in preparation for these games and effort. And so you got to reach inside as coaches and players, not just the players here. But you got to figure out the problems and then work to solve them. I know I have that kind of locker room, and so I know the guys will do that. I know the coaches will do that too. But you can't just say everything's going to be okay. That's not how this works. You got to dig in, and it's got to be there's got to be some. You got to check the ego at the door and do some self evaluation there.
We have two more for you. We'll go first to Todd Lebo.
Hey, Coach, I don't know if you got asked this yesterday or not because I wasn't out there with you, but Kingsley was inactive this week. Can you just take us through that process on having him be inactive and kind of where is he for the near future here with you guys?
Yeah, Kingsley's going to be okay. It's just sometimes you got to take a step back, take a step forward, and that's what we felt we needed to do there. We'll go from there and just see how things work out here as he continues to work forward.
We'll close it out with Seren Petro. Seren?
Thank you, and I'll have a follow-up as well. Coach, to kind of follow up on what Todd was saying, would you have any plans? I know there are several veterans that are out there. Any plans to look at anyone after what you saw and just kind of your thoughts on Wanya Morris's performance?
Yeah, so I actually thought Wanya got a little bit better this week. He's been doing that for the most part every week, but the injury stepped in on it last week for a while. But I felt like he did some good things for a young guy. He improved and will continue to improve with reps there. But and then as far as a veteran player goes, Veach is always keeping his eyes open, so he would be the one that heads that up, and he's obviously – he bird dogs all that.
And then finally, just the undefeated talk. Do you find that it's now gone? It's not something you have to do? You guys have always said, you know, the goal is to win a Super Bowl, but it's – whether you talk it or not, it gets thrown at you. Is it a welcome – relief to not have to answer that anymore, or maybe for your team or some of the younger guys to not have to answer those kind of questions anymore?
Yeah, Seren, I don't know that. I mean, I, you know, my feeling, I don't really care about all that crap. So I just go forward and I try to exhaust what team we're playing. And I present that to the players that way. And I expect them to do the same. So I don't really hear a lot of that talk from them, or I really think they care too much about that, other than exhausting yourself the best you can to prepare yourself for that team that's there that week. And then you get to a point where you say, listen, I've done everything I possibly can. Here's the product. And you go play. So,
Coach, we appreciate the time. I'll let you.
All right, so that was Andy Reid's press conference sponsored by Arvest Bank. We are proud to serve Chiefs Kingdom right here on 96.5 The Fan. A couple of things. I mean, at the end, let's start there real quick since that was the most recent thing we heard about Kingsley, who was healthy and active, said, you know, sometimes you got to take a step back before you can go forward. I mean, it's like at this point, yeah, it is a true reset, it does feel like, for him. And I think it's more of a reset as an off-season reset and figure things out there than this. But as far as the veteran market, I mean, I didn't expect to hear much differently, of course. You said Brett's always looking, Brett's handling that, Brett Veach, of course. I didn't expect for Andy to flat out be like, yeah, yep, you know what? We actually are about to sign Donovan Smith. I wasn't expecting
he did
that.
He did. He went out of his way to compliment Wanye before saying,
for sure,
well, we always keep our ears to the crowd.
As we said earlier, if you're going to have Kingsley inactive now, and maybe, I'm not saying he won't be active again this year. He probably will be. But if you're doing that for a game, knowing Wanye's probably still not 100%, like, I don't know how you don't bring in Donovan Smith, not only to serve as a backup, but if you actually think there's a true upgrade in play come playoff time, it'd be nice to have Donovan Smith.
It is a legitimate problem where I'm sure coaching staffs sitting rooms for their very long time to try to make these determinations. Because then you can always make the same argument. Making someone healthy and active when they're unlikely to play, who is already struggling with confidence, you think that makes them more confident? Just straight up not being on the roster.
But the argument probably is that, hey, like, you know,
but if
basically take a deep breath kind of thing. Step away for a second. Don't even worry about, like, you know.
It's a tough. And I would say that it is not. I don't think you can universally apply that to the person. I think that Gold, it would work. Like, if you were struggling in your radio show, I think some people would be better to be like, no, Alex, we're going to give you tips and tricks, and we're going to work on this thing while you work on this thing, versus like, Alex, just take a couple of shows off, man. We'll
everybody get your head straight.
Some people that might work better for. Other people, the other might work. So I'll trust that the Chiefs have been around the kid enough to do this. But yeah, they should be calling on a veteran somewhere along the way at this point, and it'd be kind of stunning if they didn't. That would be kind of weird. So that's obviously the biggest news. That, and he wouldn't admit if Minihue or Pacheco are going to play this week.
It's early in the week. I'm not expecting to hear
that. Come on,
that.
Andy, just tell me.
I wasn't expecting that till Wednesday or Thursday. We start getting the practice reports. Also acknowledge that there was a follow-up question, too. Like, maybe certain areas scale back a few things. I thought that was a little interesting, referencing the offensive line, too, a little bit.
And it seemed like the way he was talking about, like, motions and sets, I feel like my guess is that when he's describing that, he is describing, we're doing too much pre-snap and it's making the offensive line's jobber harder to know what they're supposed to be doing versus just true pass sets, right? You fade back, you do this. And honestly, the best they looked all day yesterday is when they were in the semi-hurry up.
Yeah,
they got the ball to Kelce and Hopkins, and they're always been one of the worst teams in the league at getting the play call in the latest and then going to the final second of the play clock. I think you want some thinking less and playing more. And that's just me reading between the lines. Yeah. I'm not totally sure but that's my guess for what he means by that, that he wants them to play with a little more energy and effort and or knowledge of what they're doing.
He also kind of said what everybody was seeing on the deep pass to Worthy, that you can blame both Mahomes and Worthy on that. He acknowledged that Worthy,
he's right,
with the foot needs to be in, but also said, of course, you know, for Patrick Mahomes on the front end of it needs to do a better job too. I mean, that's what the play was. Like, it truly was. You could absolutely blame both players for that particular play, and that connection has just not happened yet.
I think had we not had like four other examples this year, 99% of people would be putting it on Worthy. Because, and I guess hear me out on that. You'd be like, well, how? Like, if I'm telling you right now, I think it's a 50-50 proposition. If they'd hit on other ones, it would have just been simple as, here's the truth. When a ball is going 40 yards down the field, it is hard for it to be a perfect throw. The scale in which you can miss is significantly easier to have that throw off. It was good enough for a 40-yard completion if he just gets his feet down. And so had they not missed several other times, we'd be putting more on Worthy. But because they've missed by that margin several other times, and it has been on Mahomes those other times, it just feels like both things aren't happening. And that's where I'm with Andy, where I just think this is like, if you made me place a percentage of the blame, 50% Worthy, 50% Mahomes on that play. Like that one. Not all of them, but that one, Yeah, down the middle. You're both bear responsibility.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. I have a question related to parenting. I'm curious your opinion, Gold, based on...
Oh, well, you know, I'm the expert when it comes to parenting. Yeah.
Hold on, this is actually more, in fairness, I would say that this is more of a societal question. I'm at a kid's birthday party.
All right.
That kid has been dropped off by their parent. I'm not sure that that was expressed, that that was allowed, but dropped off by their parent. That kid then hits another kid at the party. What is my level of getting involved? I'm like, the little girl came over to where we were sitting. She's like, that boy, known agitator, this child. I'd like that to be known. Comes over and he's like, he hit me up there and called me ugly. And I'm like, well, this kid's a jerk. And I'm like, what level can I be like, hey, what, do I just be like, don't do that? Can I say any words to the kid?
Yes.
That's the question I have in mind. Am I allowed to speak words that kid be like, don't do that stuff?
Can you?
Their parent's not there.
Yeah.
I'm not the adult hosting the party, in which case I think I am allowed. Am I allowed to say any words to that kid, or I have to just let it live?
Can you tell the parent who's hosting the party? Do you go and you tell the parent? It's either that or you tell the kid, hey, we need to be nice or something. Very vanilla, basic.
That? The That's basic it. General,
otherwise,
like, hey, let's try not to be mean to each other.
Because the parent not being there, normally I would be like, yeah, don't. If the parent's there, like, obviously you can't be the one to do that.
Totally agree, 100%. But like,
I think at a
if
party,
there's no parent there, what's
I would have just told whoever's parent was hosting the party, like, hey, just a heads up. And maybe that parent can be like, hey, remember, we need to be really respectful and nice kind of thing. And not like, obviously,
the host has a different responsibility for like, children, you know, like for like making sure everyone's happy, you know, making sure everything's good. From the 913, the first one, absolutely.
Was it at somebody's house? Where was this party? Like, was that like a?
Is that like a no? Like a general play area,
like an urban air type place?
Yeah, or something? Okay. Yeah. Just like a normal like kids play.
Someone
area.
Says boy or girl, strain their ass out. No parent around.
Someone said hold the parents that's hosting the party accountable. Come on, dude, there's a lot of kids there. They can't be monitoring every small situation unless you're just saying they shouldn't have invited them. And then I'll let you do that if you invite whole classes. Like at school anymore, if you invite one, if you have the teacher hand, I think the rule is like, if you have the teacher hand out the invitations, like as in you put the responsibility to get them in like their bins.
So someone's on
you
the gotta invite everybody.
Yeah, someone brings up a good point though. They said, what about the child that got supposedly, like the girl that came, the girl that came up to you, where was her parent?
So I... Should've near told her me. Parent, this
let
is why.
Tell her parent. Let her parent handle it.
Yeah.
So I'm just out. She'll handle it.
Someone else's kid came up to you.
But she didn't know the kid, and I, you know, like
someone else's kid came up to you to tell you what happened. Can't you tell their parent? Hey, your daughter came up and said.
I believe it to be an extended relative who was able to take this person.
Still relative.
The parent was
still relative.
So I'm off the hook if it's
I
a
think
relative.
So. Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that part of it. Yeah. I think that's interesting. Yeah. Tell their parent or relative and let them handle it.
Somebody from the 913 said,
yeah, some of these people, the whole text line just like whipped their ass. You're like, hold on. No.
We're talking about what? 7 year old.
Relax.
Like 8 or 9.
Someone said, you need to remind the kid that came up to you and said something that snitches get stitches. Dang.
That kid did nothing wrong. So I would like to point out that the age of... So, like, the kid in question was 8 or 9. Don't know when their birthday is. The kid they hit was 6 or 7. So, a younger child.
Nah.
Felt more like you got to be defensive about it.
Yeah,
you're like,
100%.
Can't be picking on this little kid. But, I also don't know, like, what the expectation is. Like, if it's my friends... Like, so let's just say, like, really good friends who our kids hang out all the time. I feel like I got a certain leeway where these parents and I know each other, you're allowed to say a certain amount to my kid and I'm allowed to say a certain amount to your kid, right? We're allowed to check behavior a little bit of each other's kids over established boundaries we've all clearly set with each other. When it's not a stranger, like I've obviously... You know,
yeah, I got you.
But like when it's not a person I've regularly interacted with, like I'm just supposed to stay out of it? I don't know.
913-586-7965, where we're going through this random question. Someone says, eye for an eye, Cody. Tell the kid to go hit him back. It's a rough world out there.
You guys are all just suggesting child abuse.
That's what majority of the texts are.
Yeah.
I would say like 99% of the texts are like, make sure this behavior stops, you know?
Yeah, I just think you tell the relative and let the relative handle it.
Yeah, to stay out of it. If it's my kid, obviously.
Well, that's a difference. Yeah,
I'm saying whatever, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got free... Especially,
well, I don't know about whatever. I don't think you can go and just start yelling at the kid.
But I got carte blanche to be like, you can't hit my kid.
Yeah, well, sure.
Leave your hands off my kid.
Yeah, you just got to be careful.
You know, like,
you got to be a little careful with the tone in which you say it to somebody else's kid, probably. But yeah.
I just feel like I can't Someone says, there's just so many of the text line. Someone says, I made it clear to parents who drop your kid off my house. I will parent them the same as my own. If you don't like that, don't drop them off. That's actually not the worst. That's actually not the worst warning, in my opinion. I will say, if you drop your kids off, like if let's say like we've had parties at our house and we've had parents leave their kids behind. I think if a kid
leave their kids behind.
Well, you know, like leave them at the party.
The way you phrase that.
That's true. Like they just live with me now. And if one of those kids had like hit another kid, I have no qualms being like, you can't do that. Right? Checking the behavior verbally. What? Like, you can't do that. We don't hit, go take a second. You know, like whatever. I think that's fair game, but this was not. This was like a group setting.
I will say, before going over to friends' houses, like if my parents were to drop myself off at a friend's house or whatever, it's always my parents. Just a reminder, you need to be respectful to Mrs. Whoever. And, you know, you have the reminder where, you know, you need to treat them as if they are your parent because they are taking care of you at the moment in time.
So over on the text line, so for the 816 Nurse Jan, so you got a third and second grade, or two eighth graders. So if you know the kid's guardians well, I go straight to the accused and address it by telling them that they can't, you know, like that's not how they can carry or handle themselves. This is the problem. It's like, I don't know the parents well enough to do this. Also, at what point am I allowed to tell at what point are you allowed to tell a parent, like, your kid's a problem? This kid's a menace. Just wreaking havoc all over the place. Probably don't want to hear that. That's all. I just wanted to know what level. Text line really varies. Either just leave them alone and let the other parents handle this, or apparently, like,
someone says, I will snatch the kid up. I mean, like, just people like, I think we're also getting a generational divide on the text line, too. People's approach or raising it, you know.
Like, I think if we just took this as a millennials guide or Gen Z, we might get some different answers.
Versus, someone that raised their kids in the 70s or something or 80s, it's probably a little bit different answer.
I said, this is America's problem. Too much standing by, you know? Too much just letting this behavior go unchecked.
Yeah, that's America's problem. Anyway, up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll get to audio fun bag, what happened in the weekend, and talk more about this defense in particular, what's happening late in games.